サハ
ヒ
スワヤ
バイユ
アラダタハ
being worshipped
Shuklaha
the personality of Godhead
Vitanvan
spreading
Mamakam
my
Yashaha
fame
Chitta
he will cut
Te
your
Rideha
of the heart.
Gramtim
not.
Odarya
your son.
Brahma
knowledge of Brahman.
Bhavanaha
So translation. The personality of Godhead being worshipped by you
will spread my name and fame.
He will vanquish the knot of your heart by becoming your son and teaching knowledge of Brahman.
Very nice.
So, purport, what?
I just want to hold to translate that. Maybe you can just repeat it.
Do you have that in German? Or?
No.
Okay, read slowly. The personality of Godhead, being worshipped by you, will spread my name and fame. He will vanquish the knot of your heart by becoming your son and teaching knowledge of Brahman. So purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to disseminate spiritual knowledge for the benefit of all people, He generally descends as the son of a devotee. Being pleased by the devotee's devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Father of everyone. No one, therefore, is His Father. But by His inconceivable energy, He accepts some of the devotees as His parents and descendants. It is explained here that spiritual knowledge vanquishes the knot of the heart. Matter and spirit are knotted by false ego. This identification of oneself with matter, which is called Hridaya Granthi, exists for all conditioned souls. And it becomes more and more tightened when there is too much affection for sex life. The explanation was given by Lord Rishabhadev to his sons that this material world is an atmosphere of attraction. Between male and female. That attraction takes the shape of a knot in the heart. And by material affection, it becomes still more tight. For people who hanker after material possessions, society, friendship, and love, this knot of affection becomes very strong. It is only by Brahma Bhavana, the instruction by which spiritual knowledge is enhanced, that the knot in the heart is cut to pieces.
Der Knoten im Herzen zerschnitten wird.
No material weapon is needed to cut this knot.
Keine materielle Waffe wird benötigt, um diesen Knoten hier zu schneiden.
But it requires bona fide spiritual instruction.
Sondern echte spirituelle Unterweisung.
Kardama Muni instructed his wife,
Kardama Muni unterwies seine Frau,
Devahuti, that the Lord would appear as her son.
Devahuti, dass der Herr als ihr Sohn erscheinen wird.
And disseminate spiritual knowledge.
Und spirituelles Wissen verbreiten wird.
To cut the knot of material identification.
Um den Knoten der materiellen Identifikation zu zerreißen.
Okay. So, Tvaya Ladita Shuklo Vitanvan Mamakam Yashaha Chitate Vidya Grantim Odaryo Brahma Bhavanaha. So, Omagana Tibidanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So this history here is quite interesting. You want to go back and forth with the translation? Or
yeah.
Not simultaneous? Can you do simultaneous?
Okay, I'm not too fast.
Okay. The history is quite interesting. Kardama Muni is a great sage.
Kardama Muni ist ein großer Weiser.
A Brahmin. And he was married to this, actually princess named Devahuti. So in one sense, it was a little bit of a different caste type of marriage. For example, he was a Brahmin, which is considered the highest caste. Brahmin means like intellectual and detached from society, engaged in spiritual activities, being peaceful, self-control. These are all qualities of a Brahmin. And then the second caste, which Devahuti was born into, is known as a Kshatriya caste. That means basically those who manage, those who fight and protect people. So they're generally influenced by the mode of passion. And the mode of passion basically means the attempt to enjoy this world. And the mode of ignorance means just being completely immersed in material enjoyment, so you don't even think about the future, you're just interested in enjoying now. I mean, for example, if you people take intoxication, like you were talking about the beer drinking. Yeah, when one takes alcohol, they become immersed in the mode of ignorance. There's actually, Prabhupada said there's two types of drunk people. One type, when they get drunk, they actually talk a lot and run around and just act real crazy and maybe hit people and get violent. And the other type is the type that just goes to sleep when they get drunk. And Prabhupada said, when a high-class person gets drunk, he goes to sleep. And when a low-class person gets drunk, he runs around, does crazy things. So at least, if someone's going to get drunk, they should be a high-class drunk. But at least they're still in ignorance.
What's the point of getting drunk if you're going to sleep afterwards?
Yeah. But it's an ignorance. It's an escape. The point is an escape from reality. Because their lives are so dull or so painful. We were talking about this yesterday. It's like a type of self-medication. Like some people, they go to the doctor and they get pills to get medicated. And some people just go to the bar.
Yeah.
So people medicate themselves through intoxication because life is so miserable or boring. Watching television too much is also a type of self-medication. Because they people go into a trance, they just like become just like frankly unconscious. So these are all things in the mode of ignorance. And in the mode of passion, of course, one is thinking, let me make more money, he's my enemy, I've conquered him. People look at the stock market and they invest money and they think, I'm going to win big. Anyway, and then in the mode of goodness, they just think, I just want to get out of this material world and be Krishna conscious. So basically, we would like to be in the mode of goodness or transcendental goodness. There's actually two types of goodness. In the mode of material goodness, one just wants to get out of this world. In the mode of transcendental goodness, one just wants to serve Krishna, regardless of what situation one is in. As Lord Chaitanya prays, Mama Janmani Janmani Shre Bhavatad Bhakti Hoituki Tvaye, that I'm willing to serve you life after life, even if I have to take birth in this material world. So that's really what Krishna consciousness teaches. Because if one actually loves God, one is no longer thinking about their own liberation. But one is just thinking of pleasing God. It's like sometimes some people, Christians, come up to me and say, don't you want to go to heaven? Or even they say, aren't you afraid of going to hell? That's a better one. And I say, no. I said, if I can serve God in hell, you know, I'll serve God in hell. Or if I can serve God here, or serve God in heaven, or in the spiritual world, that's all right. And they become very shocked when they hear this. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that real love means that you're willing to do anything God wants. Their general conception is that God is supposed to serve them by taking them to heaven. And their whole conception of heaven is more or less like Disneyland that God is in charge of. You know, Disneyland. Yeah. Everyone knows Disneyland, where everything is beautiful. And then God is just like giving them whatever they want. He's like the father who provides everything for the children. Just like when I was young, it was very nice. I would just go up to my father, and whatever I wanted, he would give me. One day, I saw a very nice sports car. It was an MG. You know what an MG is?
No.
The old people would understand what an MG is. Yeah, they don't make them anymore. It was an MG, like convertible sports car. And then I went to my father and said, get it for me. And then a few days later, I opened the door of the house, and there it was in the driveway. So therefore, I thought, what a nice father. So people think that God is like that, too. So, you know, they make their list, just like there was this recent book that was called The Secret. I don't know if you heard about it. And there was a movie about it. You saw that? Yeah, most people have seen that. And the philosophy behind it is if you want something enough, the universe is your servant. So, yeah. You don't have to read it. So, just like in the movie, they showed a man who wanted a sports car.
Ein Mann, der einen Sportwagen wollte.
You saw the movie, right? Movie?
Ich hab von gehört, ja.
Yeah.
Hat davon, he heard about
heard it. They said a man who wanted a sports car, and so he just like was on his couch, just doing the shifting, you know.
On his couch, on his couch, hat er dann die Gangschaltung bedient.
And then God gave it to him, or the universe gave it to him. So their conception of God is that he is our servant.
God is in dieser Vorstellung unser Diener.
And so when they ask someone to make a picture of God, God is usually sitting on a throne.
In dieser Abbildung sitzt dann Gott auf einem Thron.
And they don't really see his face, you know, sort of vague.
Und das Gesicht ist vage.
And his business is just taking care of things, running the show in the spiritual world.
Seine Aufgabe ist einfach, die ganze Show ordentlich ablaufen zu lassen.
But someone who is Krishna conscious,
im Krishna-Bewusstsein,
of course he understands that God is the Father in what we call an ontological sense. Because, as Krishna says in the Gita, Aham Bija Pradapita, I'm the father of everybody, obviously. So the identity is that God is the source of everything and providing everything. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Vahodam Yopadadati Kamam. That's Sanskrit. You don't have to translate it. But the action and mentality is that he is serving God in such a way that he even develops in the higher spiritual realm the consciousness that God is dependent on him.
Dass er in einem höheren spirituellen Bewusstsein sogar das Bewusstsein dann hat, dass Gott von einem und von dem Dienst, den man ihm tut, abhängt.
For example, in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest spiritual realm, God does not take the position of a father.
Ist Gott nicht der Vater.
Even though he is the father of everyone, but he doesn't take that position there. He takes the position as one's friend or worshipable object, or as one's son,
als kind,
or as one's lover.
Als der
so it entails more of a attitude that God is coming to me for his necessities.
Gott kommt zum Gottgeweihten für seine Bedürfnisse.
Even though that's actually not a fact, that you know, God needs any of us because he's independent.
Gott tatsächlich den Geweihten in dieser Weise nicht braucht, weil ja unabhängig ist.
I mean, obviously, that's not true, that God needs us, but
ist offensichtlich nicht wahr, dass Gott uns
nicht braucht. There is this whole play-acting in the spiritual world,
das Spiel in der spirituellen Welt,
where this energy of God called Yoga Maya,
wo eine Energie Gottes
causes people to forget that God is the provider.
In einen Zustand des Vergessens versetzt, dass sie sich nicht mehr bewusst sind, dass Gott der die Quelle und der Vater von allen ist.
And makes people think that God is dependent on them.
Sondern sie denken, dass Gott tatsächlich von ihnen ab.
And God enjoys, Krishna enjoys that relationship.
Krishna erfreut sich dieser Beziehungen am meisten.
Just like in the relationship between father and son,
bei den Beziehungen Vater-Sohn,
the father is serving the son without anything, getting anything in return.
Dient der Vater dem Sohn ohne etwas im Austausch zu erhalten.
Like my father never asked me for a car.
Mein Vater hat nie um ein Auto gebeten.
Or never asked me for food, or never asked me for money. But I was always asking him for food, money.
Ich hab ihn um Essen, Geld und so weiter.
Even when he would come home at night,
Selbst wenn er abends nach Hause kam.
I would go through his pants and take all the money out. Pretty good. What's that?
Last night tanzen,
yeah. Yeah. Picking his pocket, you know, pickpocket. You know, what's the word for a pickpocket in German? So, but he enjoyed that.
Aber hat sich, really? Gefreut.
Yeah, he enjoyed that. Because that relationship was out of love. Out of love, he was giving to me.
Er hat aus Liebe mir diese Dinge gegeben.
You see?
Deswegen hat er sich daran gefreut.
It was more enjoyable to be the father than even to be the son, because he was giving to me, and I was just thinking, I want.
Freundlicher der Vater zu sein als der Sohn zu sein, denn er hat was gegeben und ich habe nur genommen.
Of course, I'm not Krishna, but you know, Krishna can give every. He doesn't need his father to give anything, but still, he likes that loving relationship.
Es geht eben um diesen liebenvollen Austausch, Krishna.
Even it gets to the point in the spiritual world that sometimes Krishna's parents, like Mother Yashoda, get angry with him. And she may chase after him with a stick. And Krishna enjoys that exchange of what we call mellows or tastes. So it's like there's many tastes in this world.
Es gibt auch in dieser Welt viele Geschmacksarten.
When one is eating food,
wenn man isst,
sometimes you like some hot pepper taste.
Manchmal will man was Scharfes, wie Pfeffer oder Chili.
Sometimes you like some sweet taste.
Manchmal will man einen süßen Geschmack.
Sometimes like bitter, like lemon taste.
Oder etwas Bitteres.
Sometimes, what other tastes are there? Sweet,
astringent,
yeah, it's lemon too. So there's different tastes. It's not that you like food that's always just bland.
Man will nicht einfach nur schales essen.
You know, if food is just like boiled and every day you're eating the same thing, it's boring. So you need some variety, different types of spicing. So in relationships, it's like that too. So if every day God and his devotees would have to do the same thing, it would be boring. Or if every day the relationship was just, dear God, give us this day our daily bread. Thank you for everything, God. It's quite boring. And God doesn't like to be bored. So God takes these different relationships. Even up to the point of the romantic relationship in the spiritual world. Just like in the spiritual world where God takes the position in a romantic relationship, he even arranges that sometimes there's let's say the person who he's interested in is married, so he's having a relationship with someone else who is apparently married.
Sogar die Arrangierung, dass die Person, in die er verliebt ist, oder die ihn, und die in ihn verliebt ist, parallel sogar verheiratet ist.
But actually, they're not married, it's just a play act.
Es ist nur ein Rollenspiel, denn sie sind in Wirklichkeit natürlich nicht verheiratet.
But it keeps things interesting.
Aber es macht die Dinge interessanter.
Just like if you watch TV and there's one show, a man and his wife are married.
Ja, wenn ihr Fernsehen guckt und da ist dann ein Ehepaar.
And they stay married.
Und sie bleiben verheiratet.
And nothing happens in their life. They just take care of their kids, and the kids grow up.
Die Kinder wachsen, werden groß.
It's boring.
Wäre kein guter Film.
So then it, you know, they're just like. They have this thing on TV called soap operas. You've heard of them before? You say Siphon Open? I mean soap opera?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much like you're talking about.
Americans invented them.
Yeah, I know.
soaps.
Yeah.
Soaps.
So therefore you have so much different things of romance, or someone else running around with someone else, or
verschiedene Beziehungen, wo der eine mit dem anderen herumflitzt.
So it's interesting. I mean, I never watched them, but it's so, but all these things, all these things that we have here in this world are there in the original pure form in the spiritual world with God and his relationships. But it's all a very playful thing. And in this way, that's what's happening in the spiritual world. But everyone is in anxiety how to please God. That's the main, that's a predominating factor in the spiritual world. Just like when there's a little baby and the baby cries, the mother is in anxiety. You know, the baby is not in anxiety about the mother.
Is there?
Not so much. I mean, if the mother cries, the baby reflects it, but it's not really anxiety. It's just like reflecting. So that, but the mother isn't always anxious. My baby crying. What's happening with my baby? So in that mood, that's the mood that everyone has in the spiritual world. Where is Krishna? Is he getting hurt? Is he hurting the cows? Is he walking with his bare feet? And the thorns are hurting him. Did he get enough to eat? Did he get enough to sleep? Enough sleep last night? So in this way, there's anxiety even in the spiritual world. So that is much better than trying to make God your servant. And then you want God to be in anxiety about you. You understand the difference? Yeah. Anyway, that's the general conception of religion in the Western world, is that God must be in anxiety about us. That's his business, his job description. And if he deviates from that, you just give him some feedback. God, you're not really doing your job properly. Just like if you go work in a workplace, there's assessments, you know, understand? So people are giving God his assessment, you know, you're just not doing it right anymore. You know, why am I getting sick, you know, God, you know? Did you forget about it? Forget about me? Therefore, because of that consciousness, we have many people who become atheists. Because they can't understand this subject matter called theodicy, which means basically the justice of God. You know, they look at things that happen in this world, like World War II with all the problems. And they think, you know, why do these things happen? Just like Prabhupada himself gave this example that during World War II, but we had two sides, you know, the Allies and also the Axis Pact, right? You know the Axis Pact?
Yeah,
the Italian, the Japanese, and the Germans. So Prabhupada said that both sides were praying.
Beide Seiten haben gebetet,
we should be successful.
Dass sie, Erfolg haben mögen.
So Prabhupada jokingly said,
Prabhupada sagte dann im Scherz,
that God was bewildered, which side should he take? So and the people who didn't get what they prayed for, generally they just, a lot of them lost faith. It's just like, you know, it's just like you say to God, I've been praying to you all these years, you know, for the last 30 years I've been chanting, following the principles, and now I'm getting sick, you know, what are you doing? But actually, whatever happens in this world is ultimately meant to bring us back to God, to bring us back to Krishna. Whether it is birth, death, disease, old age, or any of the miseries. So anyway, so the point is, the real point is we're meant to please God, not to take God as our servant. And it reaches its perfectional point in the spiritual world. So this is the transcendental mode of goodness. And most religious understandings are only in the material mode of goodness. You know, liberation, heaven. Yeah, so we're presenting something that Bhagavatam says, Niramatsaranam Satam, which means it's free of any cheating propensity. Cheating means that I love you, God, if you give me what I want. That's cheating religion. So let's get back to the story. So we have Kardama Muni, who's an emotive goodness, transcendental goodness. And his wife, Devahuti, who came from a passionate background. That means she was a princess, you know, king, princess, which means jewels and soft beds. And people fanning you all the time. Just like there was this story when I was young of the princess and the pea. Did you ever hear this story?
Yeah.
So it was her background was something like that. That, you know, they make many mattresses and there was one little pea underneath. Too much. She couldn't sleep. So that was the background she came from.
Das war der Hintergrund von Prinzessin Devahuti.
And so suddenly she was married to this Kardama Muni, who was from a different background. And his background was austerity, sense control, dedication to knowledge, to scriptural reading. So it doesn't seem like such a good match, right? Because let's say you take a lady and she really likes jewelry and clothes. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of designer clothes. Have you ever heard of Imelda Marcos?
What?
No, they don't. She was a Philippine president and she had like thousands of pairs of shoes. Yeah. And so you take someone from that and you get them married to someone who's just living in the Himalayas, you know, being austere. And it would appear, you know, it's not really a good match. But there's a Vedic principle that if the wife... You may not like this one. But anyway, if the wife actually is chaste to the husband and adopts the husband's mentality, then it can work. But it works only when the lady is of a, let's say the husband is of a higher class than the lady. Because when you have the man, the opposite, where the man is a lower class and the woman is a higher class, it doesn't work because the men have this nice thing called ego. And if anyone's married, like if the wife starts to give you advice and tell you what to do with your life, it's... it drives the man crazy. You know that. You know, don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. And if the man is told by the wife to do something, he'll do the opposite generally.
Und wenn dann der Mann von seiner Ehefrau Unterweisung erhält, wird er für gewöhnlich das Gegenteil
tun. And if the wife tells the husband, you should chant Hare Krishna. He says, no, never. So there's different psychologies, male and female psychology. Of course, nowadays, okay, so I'll give you a little bit something. That nowadays things are a little mixed. The men are becoming more like ladies.
And the did you read that the IQ of women has surpassed that of
yeah,
men?
Yeah. And the men and the women are becoming more like men nowadays. I mean, actually, some of your best prime ministers and presidents are women nowadays. Like Radharaja was telling me how you have a fantastic leader here in Germany. Radharaja.
Look at the alternatives.
Yeah. Like honest, someone who is honest and intelligent.
Except for the other part.
He has to translate.
Yeah, I know.
You're on TV. The whole world's watching. No, he can't continue class without him. In Germany, no one will understand. What's that? What's it, what are they saying?
Yeah.
What, you have to go?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
You're going to come back? Radharaja, you're coming back?
I just have to stop the fire in the oven.
Fire in the oven? Is that what they said?
It's baking.
And there's a fire?
Not really.
Okay, let's get back to work. So, anyway, so... Let me just catch my train of thought. All right, so you're talking about mixed marriages. So it's better that the husband is actually more intelligent and a higher class than the wife. So this is really what happened in this case that's mentioned here in the Bhagavatam of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. That he was of a higher class than the wife. And the wife, Devahuti, was so devoted to him that she actually changed her own nature to serve him.
So er war in einer höheren Klasse als sie und sie war so
hingegeben
und sie hat ihre Eigenschaften verändert.
So it's a lesson for us. Okay, the lesson for us is that if we are very devoted to Krishna and devoted to a spiritual master like that, whatever our background or nature is, we can change that to become transcendental.
So the Botschaft is that egal was unser Hintergrund ist, wenn wir sehr unserem spirituellen Master und dem Krishna hingegeben sind, dann können wir unser Wesen verändern.
Was there a fire or something?
A little bit.
There was.
Yes, you made a smoky pizza. It's very interesting.
That's good. I like smoky pizza.
It's interesting. She tried something new.
All right. But at least you took care of it.
No, it was already stopped. It was only short, smoky. She just wanted to make sure not to poison you.
All right. Okay, let's get back. So I was what I was doing was equating the relationship between Kardama Muni and Devahuti, where she actually changed her nature. And by becoming chaste and devoted to her husband. And in the same way, if we become chaste and devoted to Krishna and Krishna's representative, then whatever our nature is before becomes changed. She translated some of that, but you can retranslate it, yeah.
Okay, maybe then. Now I'm here.
Oh, you're right. No, but she more or less translated that already. So the point is by devotion.
To Hingabe.
To someone who is actually more advanced, more transcendental, you know, especially Krishna and the pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. then, as stated, Dina Hina Yatachi Loharina Mudurilo, if one takes up their instruction, chanting the holy names and becoming devoted, then even a very low-class person in the mode of ignorance can be absorbed in transcendental understanding. And a perfect example of that is there were two personalities called Jagai and Madai. And they were drunkards. They used to, like you were talking about, they used to take big glasses of beer, like about this big, with two hands. And not only beer, they used to take whiskey, vodka. What?
The bottom not down.
No, the bottom did not drop down.
Different
kind of shivani. Yeah. So, I mean, they were getting drunk. Not only, and they were the bad type of drunkards because they would attack people when they got drunk. And they would even kill people when they were drunk. So what happened is that they were regularly getting, I mean, of course, it's practically 24 hours a day they were drunk. They were so bad. They actually came from a Brahmin family. They were actually, but by that association with intoxication, they lowered their position to the lowest. So that's also another important point, that by bad association, even if you're good before, you can actually sink down to the lowest level. That's why association is very important. So, anyway, so one day, two of Lord Chaitanya's associates that's Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. Yeah. Decided to preach to them. You know, they thought, well, we should save them. And if we can save them, then everybody will know that Lord Chaitanya's mission is the best. Because if you can take people from the lowest position and save them, that's actually much more attractive to people than just taking someone who's already high. Like if you take a priest and you take him to church, there's nothing so wonderful about that. But if you take a criminal and he becomes a priest, that's wonderful. So they were thinking like that. So this they were thinking, this will help our mission, because if we can show these criminals have become devotees, everyone will think how wonderful. So they went and they said basically, please chant Hare Krishna. And what happened is that these two drunkards started to chase after them. And so they ran away. They didn't get hurt that day. And then a few days later, they came back. And Lord Nityananda also asked them, please chant. And one of them, Madai, took a pot and hit him on the head. And Lord Nityananda started to bleed. And immediately Lord Chaitanya came. And he thought, you know, I'm going to kill this guy. So he had this weapon called the chakra. It's something like the ninja people have the ninja stars, you know. You know what ninja people are? Yeah. Yeah, these are. It's only similar. It's like, well, it looks like a saw, like in a No, it actually looks like a saw when you're sawing wood, you know. You know, with one of those hand saws. Yeah, it's round and it has. But it's used like one of these, you know, one of the ninja people do. Like that. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya came ready to chop this guy's head off, Madhva's head. But Lord Nityananda, even though he was bleeding, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya to forgive them and to actually make them devotees. And first of all, Lord Chaitanya said to the second one, his name was Jagai, the one who actually didn't hit Lord Nityananda. And Jagai. And the one who stopped Madhai, his... And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, I forgive you. But I'm not going to forgive your brother. And then Lord Nityananda said, please forgive him. And then Madhai also begged for forgiveness. And they both became forgiven. And then later on, they became great devotees. And their whole life was dedicated to serving other devotees. And so this is a sign that if one has good association, good instruction, and good guidance and devotion, one can change their nature. So this principle that Devahuti is teaching us is a principle that's meant for all of us. There's a speck on here. Oh, I got it off. Good. There's some sort of dirt on it, and I just pulled off the book. So that this is really the point here. And then by doing that, and accepting this Brahma Bhavana, the instruction of spiritual knowledge, then we can also become pure devotees of the Lord. And that is real magic. Real mysticism. Or as Prabhupada said, by Krishna consciousness, the real miracle is, in those days there were a lot of hippies, he said, turning hippies to happies. And that's, both of you would remember hippies because you're from my same generation, but they don't even know what hippies are, these two.
You.
That were you guys.
They would know exactly what hippies are, but these two don't know what hippies are. You've never seen them.
I never seen them. I know what it is, but I never seen them.
But we saw them. Yeah. There were plenty of them in Germany, and so they were all over Germany at that time. You remember hippies?
No, I'm self not.
No, you never saw? Maybe you weren't, but everyone saw them. There were millions of them. They had taken over the world then. So Prabhupada said, of course, hippie means basically someone in the lowest mode of nature. They were men with long hair, down to their waist, smoking marijuana all day long, taking LSD, not taking a bath, not taking many baths, having illicit sex anywhere and everywhere. So that's just like Jagai and Madhai. Actually worse, probably speaking. And then, of course, they usually didn't kill anybody. Usually they didn't kill anybody. Yeah, that's the only difference. But they were intoxicated 24 hours a day. And so the people who were actually hippies before became saved by the Krishna consciousness movement. One of the great devotees in our movement, Prabhupada came across him while he was living in a nudist colony in a tree. And the first time Prabhupada saw him, he wasn't wearing clothes, you know, basically. And then he became a great devotee of Krishna. It's not me, don't worry about it. It's not autobiographical. But, you know, so you see the changes by someone's devotion and chastity. That was the point of this, what I'm mentioning here.
Man sieht die Veränderung durch die Hingabe und die Treue.
So that's what we can learn from this exchange.
Und das können wir von
so, any questions? I speak in Spanish, anyway.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
What a great class. You answered my question, what I want ask you today.
What was the question?
It's all answered from you today.
Really?
Yes, really.
You have a question, what?
About association. Is there, by the bad association you get low, by the good association you get better qualities. And if people associate with each other, which part, how can you manage which part wins, the good part gets bad association, or the bad part gets good?
They come to the middle portion.
Oh my goodness!
Like you have people really bad, really good, and then if they say, well, by association, I don't mean just like working with people. I mean close association. You know, people you reveal your mind to, and things like that. You know, it's not that if you go to the supermarket to buy some food that you're getting bad association. But then, you know, people you have close relationships with. So if you have someone who is really good association, but he's not quite completely pure, and someone who's really bad, put them together, it may bring up the bad person a little bit, and it may bring down the good person a little bit. Yeah, because it's like there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasajam Majonishu, which means by contact with modes of nature, we become entangled in this world. So it's like wet paint. Like you're in a place where everything has just been painted. So everything you touch, you get the paint on you. So it's like that with the modes of nature. Like if I go to see some movie that's in the mode of ignorance. Or let's take music, for example. I was just in Serbia. And in Serbia is a city called Novi Sad, where every year they have this big rock festival called Exit. You ever heard of it before? You may have heard of that before. But the festival is being held like maybe a half kilometer from where I was staying at night. And they have like 20 stages in the festival. It's a giant festival, like hundreds of thousands of people come. From all over the world, from Russia, everywhere. And so it was very hot, so I couldn't close the window at night. So in the middle of the night, it sounded like the demons were coming. You know. And even people were wearing these T-shirts, you know, with black T-shirts with gruesome depictions on them.
Yes.
You ever see that?
Yes. These monster shirts.
Yeah, monsters with blood and everything, and then people were on the stage. One year I went in there to see what it was like.
They got me a ticket, so I went in there. I just wanted to see what was it. And the music was so loud, you could feel your body vibrating from it. And the people were, and they were selling like beer every, you know, every 5 meters there was another beer seller. So listening to that music and going to those places brings one's consciousness down. So it's, you know, music or food in different modes of nature. And so the Bhagavad Gita describes these different items and different modes of nature as far as association, or people in the mode of different modes of nature. And Prabhupada said, if you associate with a drunkard, you will become a drunkard. And if you associate with a sadhu, that means a spiritualist, you'll become a spiritualist. Everything, so association is very important. So nowadays we're very lucky because we can associate on the internet. So someone may be like 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers away from the devotees, but you just go on your computer and you can be in Mayapur, you can be with great devotees at any one time. Or you can play MP3s. I mean, the technology is wonderful. But you can have good association 24 hours a day. And also you can chant the holy names, which keeps you in good association. Even if you go somewhere where it's not so, let's say, pleasant or so elevated. So that's the point. Always keep one's consciousness pure, because there's so much contamination in this world. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah, so association is important. So, yeah.
I want to ask you today. I have this new baptism. I wrote.
You wrote to me about her. Yeah.
This lady. And okay, she's a nice baptism now, and it goes always, I think. Yeah. Mm. Okay, but her, we all have a bit, the most of us, badly things in the past and so on, and get better. Yes. Please don't understand me wrong.
Yeah, everybody has things
yes,
in the past. Yeah.
This lady told me what they had done, and I was thinking, my God. And I want to ask you what I can do in these cases and so on. Then I got no
just engage in spiritual life, hearing and chanting.
Yes, okay.
I mean, whatever someone has done in the past, like someone may have been eating meat, so many cows, intoxication, whatever. It doesn't really matter. We don't consider the past of someone. Yeah, because it's actually very bad to consider someone's past. Yeah.
When I heard this and from her and when she told me and so on, and I was really shocked a little bit. And it was coming in my mind when I saw her, and I said, oh, what can I do? Okay, I see. I can be an example, and she can follow.
Yeah, just follow. Just show a good example, and yes. She can follow. And the past, there's nothing you can do about the past.
Yes, okay.
It's finished.
Yes.
You can only work in the present for the future.
I want to know what I have in my past.
It's not important.
Yes.
It's not important because there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay. Yes.
It's finished. You can't go back. It's not like these movies where, you know, Time Machine or something like that. Or what was that one movie where someone has a car, he goes back to the future?
Mm-hmm.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny film. It's not like that. You can't go back and forth in time. You know, time just moves. Time. All you can do is work in the present.
Yes.
Yeah. We can only work in the present. Whatever is in the past is in the past. It's sleeping. It's finished.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to. You don't even need to think about past life. You know, sometimes devotees are interested in past lives. You know, who they were in their past lives.
Yes.
It's really not that important.
Yeah.
It's who you are now.
No, I'm now yet in this time I'm here, and I have to look that I do it good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just
so go forward.
Go forward. Look.
Yes.
Act at present for a better future.
Yes.
Handle in der Gegenwart für eine bessere Zukunft.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Go ahead. Ask a question.
The
whole world is watching. Yeah.
Yes. I have a nice doctor. He wanted to do a course, a Bhakta Chastri course.
Hmm.
Okay, this is nice. We need a recommendation. Okay, this need a here from a temple. I said to him, do it a long time before. Please look for a service and so on. Temple and okay, he was not listening at this time. Okay, now he come back home he wanted to try to get a service and so on. And he was chased out. We have not service here. Go outside. And we have not service for people like you. What does that have?
Well, there's two sides to every story.
Yes, two sides, yeah.
There's two sides to every story. Because, isn't you can translate that.
I know.
You understand. There's actually two sides to every story. Someone may say he's chased out of a temple.
Yeah.
I've never really experienced anyone being chased out of a temple because they were just humble and wanted to do service. I think there's something else going on there, and maybe fault on both people's parts. But it's just like any sort of judgment. It's good to hear both sides.
I mean,
if someone, any temple that I have anything to do with, if someone comes humbly and says, I'm willing to do any service, unless they're crazy, intoxicated, or haven't taken a bath in 3 years.
For the first time in Abenteuer, in the temple at Golok Dam, I had many services.
Yeah. I think in the Hare Krishna movement, there's more of a problem of people giving too much services when they come to the temple than not giving services, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the Hare Krishna movement,
they're
given too many. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who comes to the temple, they'd be given a broom and say, you know, all right, sweep, clean the bathroom, you know. As long as they're normal and not a threat to other people, so.
This was my thinking. What is?
No, I have not experienced any temple rejecting people's offer of service. If you know, all things being equal, if they're, you know, clean and not a threat, and a decent hour. I mean, if it was midnight, I'm sure that there would be a problem.
Every service is a good service.
I mean, when I first joined the society, Krishna consciousness, it's raining. When I first joined, I mean, they said you can do a service, you can clean Krishna's pots.
Yes.
And I was very happy.
Yes.
But if I said I want the service of giving class when I first joined, I think they would have told me, no, you can't have that service. So. Anyway, so there are two sides to every story.
Yes.
All right, any other questions?
Thank you.
Did you drift in? Any questions?
No, but now, maybe later.
About in a Vedic marriage, how the husband is the boss.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what she wanted to ask about. There's this interesting book. And it's not a Krishna conscious book. It's called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I don't know if you've heard this book. No, Men Are From Mars.
Today, men come from Venus.
Men come from them. We have a foreign minister who comes from Venus. Men are from Mars.
So it, but it pretty much goes along with the, with, you know, the Vedic psychology, the different natures of men and women.
Also, sie haben eine unterschiedliche Natur, Männer und Frauen.
You know, but like I said, in Kali Yuga, for a variety of reasons, things are not exactly like that.
Gibt es aus verschiedenen Gründen eben Abweichungen von dieser Regel?
Because basically, the women don't get protected by most of the men in Kali Yuga. And because of that experience that men are trying to exploit them. Therefore, they become reluctant to actually, you know, just be completely devoted. You understand? So it's understandable you don't have like ideal, like Vedic models in the Kali Yuga. So basically we have to be practical. So most marriages nowadays are more or less like equal partnerships rather than the lady being the ideal, you know, just submissive wife. And the man being the only one who wears the pants in the family. So it's more like a partnership type of thing nowadays. That makes sense. Because you can't impose... it's interesting, you can't impose a different cultural model on a culture that's pretty much the opposite.
Man kann ein anderes Kulturmodell nicht auf eine konträre Kultur übertragen.
You understand? You have to be aware of where you are.
Man muss davon ausgehen, wo man
gerade. I mean, in the old days, the ladies were so devoted to their husbands that when the husband died, they actually wanted to leave this world, and in some cases actually did that with the husband.
Waren die Frauen dann ihren Ehemännern so ergeben, dass sie tatsächlich aus eigenen Stücken die Welt verlassen worden wollten nach dem Tod ihres Mannes.
I mean, they would voluntarily jump into the funeral pyre of the husband.
Sie haben sich aus in das Bestattungsfeuer ihres verstorbenen Mannes gesprungen.
Nowadays, they throw the husband on the fire while he's still alive. Oh, he's still alive. No, that's a joke. I mean, don't take that. Yeah, but the point. But the point.
They were thrown in involuntarily. Yeah, involuntarily. Then it started throwing him in first.
Yeah. So, but the point is that. That's if you try to artificially impose that model on society. Like with this, you know, the Sati rite. That when the British came to India, they were actually throwing the women on the fire. That's horrible. That's horrible. I mean, the point is, the woman would do it voluntarily out of love.
Ursprünglich war es aus Liebe und freiwillig.
And sometimes, even in the Western world, we find that women or husbands are so devoted to each other that when one dies,
Ehepaare so aneinander hängen, dass wenn einer stirbt, der andere.
That they can't go on living without the other, so they don't commit suicide, but they just like lose their will to live
within half a year,
within a few months or something like that, and then they leave their bodies. So that, I mean, that's an ideal situation where people are so devoted like that. And Prabhupada sometimes compares that to the devotion a disciple would have with a spiritual master.
Prabhupada das manchmal mit der Hingabe, die ein Schüler seinem spirituellen Meister gegenüber hat, verglichen.
Not that the disciple leaves the body, but the disciple
becomes
so devoted to the mission of the spiritual master and the spiritual master's absence. When Srila Prabhupada left this planet in 1977, It was, to me, it was like losing my best friend, everything. And so, you know, I didn't want to die. I thought that now I should completely dedicate myself 100% to serving. Because the mission of the spiritual master is non-different than the spiritual master. So at that time, right after Prabhupada left, I took sannyas. And sannyas means like complete dedication to the mission of the spiritual master. So like in the beginning of 1978, Prabhupada left in 77, that was my vow of dedication. So that's what we can learn from that those relationships. And in general, in all of our relationships, we should have that quality of loyalty. I mean, nowadays, and people get divorced like that. Now, when I was young, you never, basically, you never really heard about divorce when I was young.
In meiner Jugend kannte man Scheidungen praktisch nicht.
But nowadays, nowadays people don't even bother to get married, but to speak of get divorced.
Heutzutage heiraten die Leute nicht mehr, geschweige denn sich scheiden zu lassen.
Because they say, some people say to me, why should we bother to get married? It makes it so much harder with lawyers to break up later on.
Warum sollen wir erst heiraten? Das macht es viel schwieriger, dann später sich scheiden zu lassen.
But, you know, relationships, whether we're talking about guru-disciple relationships, or mother-father, or son and mother, they should always be devotional relationships that we don't give up, which is really important. That, you know, people, just like it, you know, you go to a high school, which you call gymnasium, you know. You know where the word gymnasium came from?
From Greece. Romans and Greek.
No. You know what the Latin derivation of gymnasium?
Those sports.
No.
No?
After a while it became known as sports, but actually it really refers to a place where there's a lot. Where there's a lot of women.
It's not a Latin word, gymnasium.
Yeah, no, it, no, part of it is.
Yeah,
GYN.
GYN is women.
Yeah, GYN is women. So it's a place, it actually means a place for women. Like gynecology, you know, the same root, right?
Yeah, it's
gyn. Gyn, GYN. Which is Latin.
Which is Greek.
Oh, it's Greek. Well, Greek or Latin?
No, it's Greek.
All right, Greek. It's all one. Greek, Latin. I mean, they're all mixed cultures anyway.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. It has some Latin derivation too.
The end, yeah, but Gin is Greek.
No, but it's, anyway, we'll look it up later and I'll show you. I'll show you. But anyway, it means a place for women, basically.
Yeah.
Like if you read in some ancient English text, it'll actually say that he kept his wives in the gymnasium. Mm. So you're thinking, what, do they put them all in the gym, you know, where they can exercise all day long? Like some ancient English, you know, real old English, things like that. So, what are we talking about gymnasiums for?
No, we started with high school.
Oh, yeah, high school, what you call gymnasiums. That you always have these boys and the girls, you know, today I'm going steady with so-and-so.
Today?
Yeah. And they say, oh, here's my old boyfriend.
Yeah.
You see that? You ever see that?
Yeah. Here's my alter Freund. Yeah.
My old boyfriend. You know, he's my ex, they say ex-boyfriend.
He's my ex-boyfriend.
Here's my boyfriend now.
He's my ex-boyfriend. That's my tomorrow boyfriend.
Yeah, tomorrow boyfriend. So there's no idea of loyalty. Another thing is when
das Konzept der Loyalität.
When parents get old now, the children don't take care of the parents anymore. They used to.
Früher haben sich die Kinder um ihre Eltern noch gekümmert, aber das
they put the parents in the old people's home, and then they visit them once every month or once a year or so. So there's no feeling of like gratitude or relationship. Modern society is very much a me culture. You know, you relate to people in terms of what they can do for you, but you're not thinking so much what you can do for them. It's really like what we say, forgive me, a dog-eat-dog culture. I'm glad the Shing is not here to hear that one.
Because people are usually worse than dogs nowadays.
Yeah.
They have a higher culture in general.
Like a dog, getting on with the dog example. Like when a dog, a general dog, not a Shing, of course.
Gewöhnlicher Hund.
Like a dog has only about three or four ways of interacting with something. He goes and smells something. Either he'll eat or fight with it or have sex with it. I know there's more. Just give you an example. He's always defending dogs. But so people are more or less like, you know, just like fancy dogs now or flying pigs.
Die Leute sind heute wie fliegende Schweine im Weltall oder fancy dogs.
Sophisticated dogs. Sophisticated. They use the word sophisticated dogs.
High society
Hunde. High society Hunde. So, yes, because it's such a selfish society, and they're encouraging you to consume more and more and more by the advertising medium. And then the children are manipulated by the television and the advertisements on the television to consume and throw away and consume more. And then you have this whole throwaway culture with planned obsolescence.
Mit what?
Planned obsolescence.
Die Dinge nach einer bestimmten Zeit schon eben weggeworfen werden müssen, weil sie so gebaut werden.
Like the light bulb, for example.
Wie zum Beispiel eine
when they first had light bulbs, they were lasting too long.
Die ersten Glühbirnen haben einfach viel zu lange gehalten.
So your wonderful company, Philips, you know Philips?
It's Netherlands.
I know. European company. Philips redesigned the light bulb so it would burn out. Ashram too, yeah. But Philips was the original.
Philips had then a Glühbirne, die eben rechtzeitig kaputt geht.
So it burned out because they had a picture of one of the early light bulbs. It's still been burning for like 100 years.
So eine der ersten Glühbirnen hat auch nach 100 Jahren noch gebrannt. He knows burning senior light bulbs.
Yeah, but the new light bulbs don't last that long.
It's like with people, by the way.
Yeah, and then...
So the Americans actually developed in the 30s.
Die nicht mehr so lange halten.
Yeah, and then the...
We're just diverting the attention to, like Barack Obama, and all the Europeans.
And then they have this thing called style obsolescence too, where something works well, but they change the style or design,
und
so people have to keep up with it. Like Apple Computer, which is a European corporation.
He's half Syrian.
I know. Yeah, that's right.
He's not American.
I know. Like Apple Computer, they always have to come up with a new iteration. That means a new copy of
Generation heraus, damit die Leute nachkaufen.
Yeah, it's terrible. The virus in the computer, it's homemade by the business that we buy the bad products. They made the money with it.
Yeah.
From there, they come out our virus.
And then every year they come up with new cars.
Neue Autos.
Like the Mercedes company and the BMW company.
Yeah, but they last a millennium.
No, they don't. They come up with new designs, so people have to have a new design.
Yeah, they entwickeln neue Modelle, dass man immer sich
So all these things just like really are part of the me culture, you know, the me-centered culture. Okay, any other questions?
I want to say, the people are very surprised, mostly, when get a little bit pampered, I never meet such a nice people like this or this.
Yes, they buy a car, they also need very nice.
And as the second sort is, what wants it from
me? Yeah, what does he want from me? Exactly.
They will cheat me.
There's one great sage, his name is Chanaka Pandit.
He said,
too much devotion is a sign of a thief.
Zu viel Hingabe, sagt er, ist das Zeichen eines
Diebes. In other words, people show so much devotion because they want something.
Zu viel Hingabe zeigt, ist das nicht selten deshalb, weil jemand etwas will.
So, but if you have real devotion and people see that, then they become shocked. How can someone want to help me? And they're not getting anything for themselves. I mean, so these are the people who are the heroes, like Srila Prabhupada in our society. And you have, of course, people like in Mother Teresa, for example. I mean, these are heroes. People who sacrifice their lives for others without getting anything for themselves. And but it's very hard to find such people. You know, people get elected, and they say that I just want to serve my country. But later on, you find
that
they have so much money in a Swiss bank account. Did you ever have that happen in Germany? Or? No, never in Germany. Or they're controlled by the different corporations.
Like in America.
No, not like in Germany. I'm sure you have lobbyists here.
Yeah, we definitely have. Yeah.
American
especially. Oder von großen Konzernen ferngesteuert.
Yeah. So it's actually, you know, people are just self-interested, basically.
It's the same. It's
everywhere it's the same, yeah.
Yes, surely.
I know, Radharaja is just teasing.
Yes,
he's teasing me.
Yes,
yeah. No, I mean, actually, the only way for people to become selfless is to purify their hearts. And in Kali Yuga, the only way to purify your heart is by chanting God's names. There's no other way. You know, people may have good intention, but, you know, they become contaminated by the material energy. So unless one is chanting, the purity will not be there.
The first disappointment, like you said before, they changed. Yes.
So the chanting, you know, the chanting is absolutely essential.
Das Chanten ist wirklich absolut essentiell.
Okay. Any questions, Christian? Any questions?
Well, I'm very happy to hear you.
The name is
Christian.
That's very close to
Christ. Yeah. Well, it's definitely a biblical name, without a doubt. Christian. You have a biblical name too. Jacob.
Yeah, you too.
Jacob.
It's the Jacob's way.
No, but that's from the Bible. It's right from the Bible. That's biblical too. That's nice. Okay, so maybe we should.
Ich gefragt, ob du noch mal, ich bin wirklich glücklich, dass ich das miterleben durfte.
He's very happy that he could experience cool. That. It was yeah. Really great.
Yeah. I'm trying my best. I'm trying, hopefully.